All right, that's a blessing. It's good to hear the testimonies of people, how they got saved. Luke 19:10 this morning. Luke 19 and verse number 10. I want to preach this morning on the mind of Christ in seeking the lost. The mind of Christ in seeking the lost. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This verse comes right after the Lord Jesus met with Zacchaeus. And as he met with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus came to know Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it changed Zacchaeus' life. He was a tax collector on the side. He would collect the taxes and plus a little bit more for Zacchaeus. And then he would, but when he got saved, he said, "I am going to restore fourfold. I'm going to give back four times what I have stolen from any person." And he was a tax collector. He had records. He went to do that. Why did he want to do that? Well, because the Bible says that if a person had stolen, that they were to return it fourfold. And he knew what the scripture said. So when he got saved, it changed his life. When he got saved, he became a new creature. When he got saved, he was born again. And so Jesus makes the statement right after this meeting with Zacchaeus, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. We'll look to the scriptures today. Father, we need your help. God, it may be that there is someone here today that's not saved. Sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes people go home, they get saved at home, and we learn about it sometime after the fact. God, sometimes people come and respond right at the altar at the invitation. But God, today as we look at this, if there's a person here saved, I pray that, not saved, that you would help them to get saved. But Father, help all of us that are saved. God, help us to have your mind in seeking the lost. And God, I pray that you would help us to be more faithful in trying to get the gospel out to lost people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so lost things need to be found. That is an important fact. It is a fact that we understand. A lost thing does not know to seek to be found. You know, if it's a lost child that is lost from their parents, they may know that. They may know, "Boy, I want to get back to my parents." In that case would be the exception, but typically lost things. You lose your keys, guess what? Your keys are not looking for you. If you lose your wallet does not come looking for you. You have to seek those things. And in general, lost people are not necessarily, "Oh, I'm out there, I'm lost, I need to seek God." They only begin to seek God when they come to an understanding that they are lost and that they need God. Well, how do they come to that understanding? Well, someone needs to tell them. They need the information. They need to be sought after. The effort given toward finding the lost thing is determined by the value of the lost thing. If you lose a penny, how much time are you going to search for that penny? Most of us would not, now maybe if it was one of those old coin collector ones that was worth, you know, a whole bunch more than the actual penny, you might go look for it, you might search for it. But most of us, "Man, oh, I lost the penny. I had a penny in my pocket and it must have fallen out when I pulled my keys out." How many of you would spend 2 or 3 hours looking for a penny? You just wouldn't do it. Now, you lose a $100 bill, that might be another story. You probably start looking for that. I remember I was helping Mrs. Bennett a while back with a project that she had going on at her house, and Lori had an envelope with some money in it to buy some things from Menards, and there was $20 missing. Well, when there's $20 missing, $20 is significant. And Mrs. Bennett, thinking about it, she went looking, and she looked in the trash can. And in the trash can, there was one $20 bill left in the envelope. The rest of the money had been taken out. There was one left in the envelope. Lori had torn the envelope up and thrown it in the garbage.
But the $20 bill was in it. Well, guess what? Mrs. Bennett pulled the envelope and the $20 bill out, taped the $20 bill back together. Hey, because it had some value to it, she went looking for it. Because she had some value to it, she put it back together. Sometimes we may give up searching for something that's lost. New Year's Day, we played a little airsoft out in the fields around Matthew's house. And if anybody really wants to go look, there is a magazine out there to an airsoft gun, Matthew's airsoft gun, and I lost it. Now, I had trucked through quite a bit of the woods trying to make a complete circuit and get behind the other team so I could come up behind them. And I had two airsoft pistols, and I had two people with their backs to me, and I went to shoot. Well, the first gun went off, and the second gun, nothing happened. Well, that put me in a bad spot because there were two others, and the goal was to get these two and then turn on these two. But because there was no magazine in the gun, they shot me instead. Well, somewhere in that long trek, that magazine is out there in the woods, and I looked for it a little bit. I went back to the spot where I had reloaded it. I thought maybe it fell out immediately. It wasn't there, and I gave up. And I went to Amazon and bought him a new one. But it's out there somewhere. It does not know it needs to be found. It did not have enough value that I was going to spend hours and hours looking for it. But a soul has immeasurable value. A soul cannot be replaced. It cannot be repurchased on Amazon. A soul, Matthew 16, 26 says this, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you know what that verse is saying? That there is absolutely nothing on earth more valuable than the human soul. And so with that in mind, lost things need to be found. There is nothing more valuable than the human soul. So if we were to see the value of the human soul, would we not try to go about trying to deliver that soul by bringing a soul to and introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's important. It's vital. Christ, first of all, gives us an example in seeking the lost. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 through 8, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." When the Bible says that Jesus came, the Son of Man came, to seek and to save that which was lost, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ looked at the value of the human soul. He put such value on it that he left his place in heaven. He came and indwelt the body of the baby that was in the womb of Mary. He was born like any other man would be born. He grew up. He lived a sinless life. And the Bible says he became obedient unto death. We are talking he who is life himself. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ gave up. He had been alive from eternity past. He gave up His physical life. He died as the sacrifice for our sins. When you think of the mind of Christ in seeking the lost, Jesus Christ gave everything to seek after the lost. Jesus Christ looked and said, I value the human soul so much that I will go down, I will give up everything, I will be beaten, I will have nails driven through my hands, I will have nails driven through my feet, I will be scourged, there will be a crown of thorns placed upon my head, I will on that cross be forsaken by my Father God. And I will pay the price that every soul might be saved. But Jesus didn't come just to save. He came to seek the lost. Lost people need to be sought. Mark 10:45 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the ransom payment for anyone who will come to Jesus Christ and believe? Now, He died for all. He paid the ransom price for all. Not everyone gets ransomed. Because of the free will of man, you have a choice whether you will be ransomed or not. The price is paid, but will you come to Jesus? The price is paid, but will you realize you are a sinner on your way to hell and you need Jesus, and Jesus is the only way out of salvation? Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 6 says this, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ died for all. Now, when you think about this idea of saved, I want you to understand what it is. A person is born with a sin nature. That sin nature causes them to grow up, and as they become to the point where they make decisions, they decide to sin. There has not been a man alive except Jesus Christ who has not sinned. That sin, the Bible says, your sin has separated between you and your God. God is a thrice holy God. And God cannot be in the presence of sin. He will not be in the presence of sin. He will not tolerate sin in His presence. And so God, by the nature of our sin, we are separated from God Almighty. The punishment for sin, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. The death that it's talking about, it says in Revelation, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The wages of sin is hell. You do not go to hell to pay for your sin. You ultimately go to hell to get paid for your sin. The fact that you have sinned against Almighty God, the punishment for that sin, the wages for the acts that we have committed, we have earned a place in hell. People think, well, am I good enough to escape hell? No, because you are a sinner who has earned a place in hell. Well, I haven't sinned as bad as someone else. But still, you are a sinner who has earned a place in hell. And Jesus came down and He says, I see this person on their way to hell. I will pay the ransom for their soul. And He hung on the cross and He died in our place and He paid the ransom. He ransomed us so that we would not have to go to hell. But lost people often do not know that they need to be found. Lost people, unless someone, the Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So a lost person on their way to hell, what is the thing that will cause them to come to an understanding that Jesus Christ died for me? And in dying for me, I can call out to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, would you save me? I need to be saved from my sin. And Jesus Christ, if you'll call out to Him, He will save you from your sin. He'll give you eternal life. Now, what does saved mean? It means that you're not going to hell. You're saved from the penalty of sin. That's a blessing, isn't it? But it's more than that. When you get saved also from the power of sin. Do you realize you do not have to be under the power of sin any longer? The Bible tells us as Christians in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, all of that is going to perish. So when Jesus saves us, yes, we're free from the penalty of sin. Praise God, I'm not going to hell. But He also saved me from the power of sin. I do not have to live in sin any longer. God tells us that He makes a saved person a new creature. It says that they are born again. They're no longer in the family of the devil. They're in the family of God. And Christians need to understand we should not be living any longer for the devil. We're saved from the power of sin. We should not be looking and acting and speaking like the world any longer. Jesus saved us from the power of sin. Christian people ought to be peculiar, the Bible says. We ought to be different. Jesus came to save us from the power of sin. Jesus also came to save us ultimately from the presence of sin. Once we arrive in heaven, the presence of sin is gone. Our old sin nature that's in this body is gone. We at death, we're separated from this flesh. If we're saved, we go to heaven. We no longer have a sin nature. We're given a new body. That new body has no sin nature. There will be no desire to sin. That'll be a blessing. So He saves us from the penalty. He saves us from the power. He saves us from the presence of sin. When you think about that, when you get saved, shouldn't you live for Jesus? Now, if you've been found, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, the testimony that was given this morning, Brother Idle, Jesus was seeking him. He was hearing the gospel. Unfortunately, he grew up going actually to churches and he didn't hear the gospel. That's a sad thing. Isn't the church the place where the gospel ought to be preached? And thanks to some friends saying, hey, would you come to church? And in coming to church, the Word of God is opened. And guess what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And eventually, the Word of God did its work because Jesus was seeking Brother Idle. Jesus was seeking, if you're saved today, Jesus was seeking you. But more than likely, someone else had the mind of Christ and they were also seeking your soul. It may have been your mom and dad, praying for you, praying that you would come to that point of conviction, praying that eventually you would trust Christ as Savior. You don't go to heaven, young people, because your mom and dad are saved. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's your choice. Every individual has a choice to make. And that's important. Jesus Christ gives us the example in seeking the lost. And then Christ teaches us that the lost must be sought after. So not only in His life and example, but in His teaching. Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7 says this, "Then drew near unto Him the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmur, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Jesus went to a sinner's house. Yeah, He was seeking to save them. He was not going to participate in their sin. He wasn't going to their house just to watch the film or watch the game with them. He was going to seek for their soul. And so Jesus gives a parable. "And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Here the shepherd recognized the value of one sheep. And the shepherd says, okay, these sheep are safe. These sheep are in their place. You know, the sheep here that are saved don't need to be saved. They're already saved. And he continues on with the parable and he says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." It takes time to seek the lost. Every person that needs to be saved doesn't get saved necessarily the first time they hear about it. The first time they hear about it, they may be resistant to it. You may invite somebody to church and they have no interest because they do not understand in their heart that they need to be sought. They do not understand that they are lost. They do not yet understand that they are a sinner on their way to hell. And so what? Look, here's a sheep. He's gone. And the shepherd, he's going back and forth. Where could this sheep be? He's probably looking and saying, did the sheep leave any tracks? And you've seen the pictures that have been drawn of the shepherd with the little lamb hanging over the edge of the cliff and the shepherd reaching down, pulling that lamb up out of there, putting the lamb on his shoulders and taking him back. But you know what? That shepherd had to put in some time and some effort to go after and to seek after that lost lamb. You know, it takes getting out of our comfort zone to seek the lost. I don't enjoy the company of sinners. I don't enjoy often the language that they use, the crudeness with which they speak. There's a lot of things about them that I don't enjoy. And we should not ever be comfortable in their comfort zone. We're saved, born again, blood-bought Christians. We're unique, we're peculiar, we're different than the world. But the world needs to be sought. Those individual souls that you may know that are not saved, they need to be saved. And it takes us, but look, we get around fellow Christians, and it's a blessing to talk, to communicate. We have a lot of the same values, a lot of the same ideas. Any Christian who is Bible-based is going to have unity with another Christian who is Bible-based. The Bible unifies. Now, the lack of the Bible divides. But the Bible unifies. And so we look at it and we understand that we're going to have to put aside some time, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone, and we're going to have to put in some effort if we are going to seek lost people. Did Jesus do that? Jesus demonstrated it himself in leaving heaven, living among earth. You think he was in his comfort zone on the cross? This shepherd in the parable, well, I've got 99 here. Hey, I'm preaching to me too. You know, we got more than 99 here. But there's lost ones out there. And they're not going to walk in those doors necessarily. Probably they're not going to walk in those doors on their own. Probably they're not going to just... It's very rare when a lost person just says, oh, let me search for a church. And then, what are they looking for in a church? They don't know what to look for. People go to church, and if it's not a Bible preaching church, it's not going to do them much good. And so what? We need to go out and seek the lost, and we need to have the mind of Christ in going out and seeking the lost. Luke 15, 8 and 9, he gives a second parable. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. You're going to have to put some energy into it. You're going to have to sweep the floor. The piece of silver has fallen. It may be under the furniture. It may be in a corner. Wherever it may be, she's going to go and she's going to sweep the entire house. She's going to move the furniture. She's going to find it because it had value to her. Do we value the souls of the people in this town? Our missions program shows that we value the souls of people in other places. We will set aside finances for that. We will work maybe a little extra so that we can give some finances toward that. We will sacrifice so that we can give some finances toward that. We'll not purchase something that we could have or would have purchased because we understand the value of other people reaching souls, other people seeking the lost. But do we seek the lost? It takes faith to seek the lost. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 35 through 38. Says this. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye entered in to their labors. You know what? Sometimes you come across a person and they're ready to get saved and you have the joy of leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing, isn't it? More than likely, someone else sowed some seed somewhere in that person's life and you came along and you were the reaper. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But a person who does not believe that there's a harvest out there is not going to go put the sickle in. It takes faith. And a person who does not believe that the seed has the potential to grow will not plant the seed. We planted some tomatoes and some cucumbers and some squash and some beets this year in some raised beds, and we put the seeds in. I did not put the seeds in thinking, well, they won't grow. Now, I will tell you what I did do, especially with the beets. I ended up putting too many seeds in, just in case some of them don't come up. And the truth is, almost every one of them came up and they had to be thinned out. But better to sow too much than too little. The thing is the Word of God still effective? And I'll say this. We are in a time in America right now where the reaping is significantly less than in the 70s and 80s. The number of people coming to know Jesus Christ and be saved from hell and be saved from the power of sin in their life is drastically less than it was. Now, there are two things to consider with that. One is, are there just fewer reapers? Two is, has the seed not been sown? And I think the problem is both. I think that there has been a lack of sowing the seed. People get, well, I got my own things to do. Look, remember, it takes time. It takes getting out of your comfort zone. It takes effort to seek the lost. It takes faith that the Word of God is still powerful. It's still effective. And so we look at that. And we say, are we sowing? If we sow sufficiently, will there be a harvest? Question is, do you believe that there will be a harvest if you sow the seed? Now, we've looked at the parable of the sower. Some falls on the good ground, some on the hard ground, some on the, you know, not every person that gets it's going to get saved. So what? Sow more abundantly. Cast the seed indiscriminately to everybody that we can cast it to. And then maybe as we're out sowing some seed, we'll actually be getting some harvest. Maybe we'll get some people that'll walk through the doors of the church and they'll come in and they'll hear the preaching of the Word of God like the idols, and get saved from their sin. I have a bunch of tracts on the table here this morning. They're in packs of five. There's a paper clip on each one. And here's what I want to do. I want anyone who's willing to say, I'll give out five tracts. Maybe in the coming week, in the coming 2 weeks. I'm going to put a basket on this table. When you have given out all five tracts, just bring the paperclip back. Put it in the basket. I'm giving you a little incentive, a little encouragement. We can count the paperclips and we can see how many tracts got distributed. Say, well, how many tracts are out there? Look, just because you take them doesn't mean they went out. They could be sitting in your car. They could be sitting in your console. They could be sitting in your house. They could be in a suit coat pocket that you don't wear again for 3 weeks. So when you have passed out five tracts, just bring the paper clip back. We're not doing names or anything like that. I've heard of people doing competition. We're not doing a competition. Look, will we just get the mind of Christ in seeking the lost? Will you hand out five gospel tracts? Try to speak a word with the people. Try to tell them what it is. Try to give them an invitation to church. But will you give out and ask people to read them? And when you've given out five, bring the paper clip back, drop it in the basket, and we'll be able to tell, you know, next Sunday night, next Sunday morning, how many gospel tracts we got out this week. Let's sow the seed. Can you come and take a packet of five tracts and put in the effort? Get out of the comfort zone. Put in a little time. Do you believe the Word of God is effective? Will we take the mind of Christ in seeking the lost? And try to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice. Well, don't you rejoice when a sheep gets found? What a blessing to hear Brother Idle's testimony this morning. And then they got baptized here and joined the church. What a blessing that is. It's great when we find a sheep. But we've got to seek them. We have to seek them. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here today and you're lost, say, I've never been saved, and you need to be saved, would you just raise your hand, heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved yet. I need to be saved. Anybody? Okay. If you're here and you're a Christian, will we get the mind of Christ in seeking the lost? Will you participate this week? I want to invite you to come and pray. I also want to invite you, you can come now and take a packet of tracts if you want to. You can come at the end of service and take one. Look, it's not show. I'm not writing names down who come and take them. I'm not even going to pay attention to who takes them. But would you pray? Can we begin this morning by praying, God, would you give me the mind of Christ? It's not God, help others to seek the lost. It's God, would you give me the mind of Christ in seeking the lost? Father, I ask that you would help us now. God, help us to be responsive to your word and the invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, you do what God would have you to do. Maybe you have a specific lost person that needs to be saved. You pray for them. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you more than anything for Jesus Christ. God, help us to remember what you did in order to find us. And God, I pray that you would renew within our church body the effort to seek the lost. And God, help us to distribute your word as much as possible. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a great afternoon. We will see you tonight.